join back together with us. This morning, the subject that I want to address was kind of a request, I guess. We had some people was asking about if we could preach a sermon about proper conduct during worship. And that's what I intend to address this morning. Proper worship. You know, when you think about worship throughout history, it is the act of going before God, giving thanks, offering praise, submitting ourselves to His great might, you know, expressing the fact that He is a great and powerful being and that we are His servants and that we love Him. So, when you do that, shouldn't there be a certain way, a certain manner that we go about doing that? Shouldn't there be a certain amount of, I guess you could say, decorum about us when we go about this? True worship, if it is extended in the proper manner and in the proper spirit, will edify us and intensify our hope of heaven. It will bring us closer to God. When our worship is not taken seriously, when we don't take our worship seriously, not just those around us, it hinders us. Our actions are impotent. They lack power. We are spiritually weakened. We slide further and further away from God. Worshiping God is a serious matter, and it should not be taken lightly. I think Nadab and Abihu can attest to that. Turn with me to Leviticus, the 10th chapter. God commands respect. God commands reverence. And He commands His obedience to Him. Leviticus, the 10th chapter. And beginning in the first verse, if I can ever get there. Leviticus chapter 10. It says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from before the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified.'" The Lord is not playing. The Lord is not taking this lightly. When you come for Him, when you come to worship Him, it must be done as He requires. And it must glorify Him. Historically, as a people, we've had behavior problems. When we assemble for worship, we must remember that Jesus is with us. It should affect us in how we worship. Jesus says in Matthew the 18th chapter and verse 20, Matthew 18 and verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." Jesus is watching us. He is there. He is with us. Therefore, whatever we do while we worship, during our worship services, it should be done in a manner that is well-pleasing in His sight. It should be done in a way that should make us acceptable in His sight. Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus is watching. Jesus is judging us by what our actions reveal about us. Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verse 31 beginning, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. This point he is trying to make here, even though we are not openly serving Jesus himself, we are not ministering directly to him, we are ministering to our fellow man. We are ministering to our brethren. And Jesus is watching. Because he counts how we treat each other, how we have regard for one another, in the same manner as if we were having regard and treating him. So, let's look at a main problem that we have in our worship. The main problem that we see today in a worship service, when you go into a church building and you're preparing for worship, there is a certain attitude that should be found there. And sadly, most of the time, there are those there that are lacking that attitude. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have the ability to come boldly to the throne of grace and expect to find mercy and be able to find help and grace in the time of need. But this is the Lord God of heaven we're talking about. This is the Creator of the universe. Though we have free access to God through Christ, we must remember that we are servants approaching the throne of the King of Kings. And we should do so in a manner that is in the most reverence, the most reverent way, the most respectful way that we can muster. Sometimes when we assemble together, we are disrespectful to our Lord and King. Sleeping saints are a detriment to any congregation. Now, there are some people that come in straight off of a shift from work. They are dog tired. They have been up all night long. Them falling asleep is understandable. It may not be the best situation, but that is understandable. These people are physically exhausted, but they are still there to worship God. You get somebody that has been up all night Saturday, party, and he comes into the church building, and he falls asleep on the bench. That is disrespectful. That is not holding God in high enough regard that you are not rested and ready to worship Him the next day. Congregations should not use such men in their public worship. It is hard to tell your children and to tell visitors to pay attention to the message that's being presented when the man who led the singing or the man who led the Lord's table is sound asleep on the pew next to them. There also can be sleeping shepherds. An elder who sleeps through a sermon brings shame to his office as the shepherd of the flock. It is impossible for him to do his duties, to guard the flock, as it says in Acts 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, Therefore take heed to yourselves and all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember what that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul exhorts the elders here to pay attention to what is being spoken. That is an elder's job. If he's not there for the sermon, if he's asleep on the pew and he's not listening to what's being presented, how can he guard and watch for those people sneaking in trying to steal his congregation? It's just not proper. It is shameful for an elder to be caught doing so. So let's talk about why irreverence is a problem. What are some reasons why this is such a problem? Think about your children. We must teach our children to be reverent in the congregation during worship services, to be respectful, to be quiet, to pay attention. Children usually mimic what they see around them, the way the grown-ups behave around them, the way other children behave around them. If they see their parents are unconcerned about worship, unconcerned about how they act during the worship services, then they will be too. We must teach, just like it is required of us to be reverent, we must teach them to be also. An older preacher once said that when children misbehave during services, we should take them out, wear them out, and bring them back in. And if it doesn't work the first time, do it again. Because it is important that they learn how to behave in a worship service. I still remember my father doing this. If he ever picked me up and we were headed to the back door and I was in knowledge that I had done something wrong, sometimes I get took out for things I wasn't expecting, but most of the time I knew it was coming and I knew why exactly I was being took out is because I had misbehaved and services were important. And he would wear my behind out if I was doing things that were disruptive. Let us all consider our attitude. The attitude that we should have when we're coming before our high priest. As it mentions in Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. This is who we're coming before. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now this is the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed both to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer." You know, and it goes on to describe the greatness of what Jesus' office is. This is an office that is ordained by God. The tabernacle that we are coming together in was built by God, not men. It is something that we should approach with great reverence. And it is an irritating problem to those who try to do so. When someone else is sitting there obviously, blatantly being irreverent and uncaring during worship. Turn with me to John, the 4th chapter and verse 24. Let us describe this worship that should be done here. John, the 4th chapter and verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." It is disrespectful, and it is also detrimental to people's faith when you do not worship Him in that manner. Turn with me to Malachi in the 2nd chapter. Malachi chapter 2, verse 5 beginning. It says, "My covenant was with him," speaking of Levi, "one of life and peace. I gave to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. And the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and in equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This is the proper attitude that a child of God should have. We are priests of God. But he goes on in verse 8. Says, but you have departed from the law. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people. Why? Because you have not kept my ways and have shown partiality in the law. When you don't take the time to worship God in a manner that is well-pleasing, when you don't study, when you don't prepare, when you come to God half-cocked and thinking like Nadab and Abihu that you can offer whatever you please to God, then God will make you contemptible and base, and He will reject you. Now let's talk about what misbehavior, misconduct in a service reveals. Misbehavior in a service, in a worship service, reveals a lack of respect for the speaker. The preacher or the Bible class teacher, whatever the case may be, deserves respect because of what he is doing. He is presenting God's Word. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and in verse 25. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and in verse 25, says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. If you do not listen to God's messengers on this earth, then you will not escape God when He speaks, when He comes again. When people act improperly during a sermon, or during a Bible class, during a study, when they laugh and cut up, when they pass notes back and forth on the benches, it shows a disregard for both the messenger and the message. It is not important enough for them to pay attention to. We should view the speaker of the Word of God with the same attitude that the people viewed the apostles. And they viewed Jesus. They paid attention. They came from miles around to listen and to pay attention and to learn. Misbehavior at services during services, especially among children, shows a lack of respect for your parents. Because they are supposed to be training you up and guiding you and teaching you how to behave. And if you are blatantly ignoring their teaching, then you are showing a lack of respect for your parents. Lots of times they suffered in order to be able to give you life, to give you food, to clothe you, to bring you to this place, to teach you the Word of God. They have to work. They have to try very hard. So it should be simple enough for you as a child to follow your parents' instructions and to be respectful enough of them, and not only them, God, to listen to what is being taught. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. It says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Also, Proverbs 13 is very similar. Proverbs 13, verse 1. It says, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Children, you need to pay attention to what your mothers and fathers are telling you to do, especially when you're in worship service, because it shows a lot about you and about your parents. Misbehavior at services shows a lack of respect for those sitting around you. It is hard to teach and even harder to listen when there are distractions going on around you, when someone's whispering or giggling and maybe snoring. Distractions and disruptions indicate a lack of respect for your fellow man sitting around you. All people, young and old, need to be considerate of those sitting around them. They need to remember also, your behavior impacts visitors. Visitors may be watching and judging the Lord's church by your actions. There was a visitor that came to a church service and made a comment to one of the members afterward. They came up to them and they said, "You know, I've never seen a congregation where there are so many people in one place that have weak bladders." Because the members were up and down, back and forth, moving around constantly. We need to try our best to be a good example, to shine a good light on God and His church. Misbehavior at services show a lack of maturity. Young people are anxious to grow up and become adults, but when they and those who are older act in such a way as to disrespect God, to misbehave in church, they are acting as children. They are acting foolishly. And finally, misbehavior at services reveals a lack of respect for God. It is one thing to not respect the teacher or the preacher, but it is another thing altogether to show disrespect to the Almighty God of heaven. Ask yourself, is what you're about to do when you're fixing to take action in servicing, maybe in services, talking, maybe you find something funny, you giggle, maybe you pull out laugh, maybe you're looking about back and forth across the congregation, not paying attention to the speaker. Or maybe you're jostling your buddy on the bench or passing a note. Is that worth losing your soul over? Is that worth losing face in the sight of God? God takes it seriously. We should too. So what is the solution to this problem? Reverence is necessary. It has to be there. Paying attention and being reverent in nature has to be in a worship service. The proper reverent attitude that is to characterize each and every worshiper of God should come from within. It has no basis. It has no bearing on externals, as some people make a big to-do over with dim lights when worship. That'll help. No, it doesn't. You get a moment of silence to show respect before you get up and speak. It's good to keep quiet in church, but there shouldn't be a big to-do made about it. You need to focus on yourself, to focus on your attitude in order to find that solution for irreverence in the congregation. A person will only be reverent when he realizes the love of God and obedient actions is what will keep the wrath of God from coming down on his head, and that it matters, and that the sacrifices that God has made deserve that reverent attitude. Here are a few suggestions that can help improve our reverence in our worship. Reverence is honor or respect shown. In worship, reverence is to be directed to God. To Him belongs the honor, and because all honor and glory is due to Him. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 17. 1 Timothy, first chapter and verse 17. It says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Also, Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 5 and 6. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is our purpose. That is our goal. And we need to focus on that. Our respect, as I said earlier, should be due Him because of His love. John 3:16, we all know what that says. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. It is something that we have to keep in our minds constantly. It loses its effect if you don't take it seriously. Your worship will not have the reverence that it needs. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God loved us and is trying to save us, so can't we show a little respect for Him in a worship service? And we should also finally show Him respect because of His wrath that will come upon us if we don't. Hebrews 12 chapter again, in the last couple of verses there, 28 and 29, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." If we do not serve Him with grace, with reverence, with fear, then He will consume us and burn us to a crisp. And some more practical things that might help us. First, prepare your mind mentally for worship. Know what you are doing and why. If you're reading a passage for Scripture reading, read your passage before time. Prepare yourself. Get ready. If you are leading the songs, get ready. Prepare your songs that you're fixing to lead. Know the songs. Get ready to lead them. Have everybody organized and have your numbers clearly marked. Show reverence when you get up to lead singing. No cutting jokes. No acting the fool. If you have to lead a prayer, maybe pray ahead of time. Pray for strength. Pray for boldness. Pray for focus. Especially the one that's preaching the sermon. Please pray for him. Because he needs all the help that he can get, especially when it's me. Second, keep the use of restrooms by yourself and your children to a minimum during the worship service. That's common sense. And not just the restroom. Don't be up and down to the water fountain. Don't be up and down walking around all over the congregation, or not the congregation, but the auditorium. It is distracting. It is not showing the respect of what's going on to what's going on in this room. Also, third, pay attention to your children, please. Parents, especially myself, have to keep a rein on their children during worship service. They are never too young, the children, are never too young or too old to learn how to worship, to learn how to behave during worship. And remember, attitudes that are learned while one is a youth are carried into adulthood. Fourth, don't party all night on Saturday. Be as well rested as possible. Then you will be physically and mentally alert. Fifth, concentrate on what's going on. Pay attention. Put all other things out of your mind. And there's many other things that I could talk about. There's many other things I could suggest. There's piles of different ways we can be disrespectful that we need to correct. But the point of all of this, to my conclusion, that worship is a blessed privilege, and it should be guarded with love and zeal and realization of its value. No one, no Christian in his right mind, should ever be guilty of misbehaving or acting inappropriately during a worship service, or a Bible class, or a study. All of us should act responsibly, respectfully, and properly before God. Set a good example before your children. They are watching. Show interest and attention. Do not sleep. Do not play on your phone while it's during services. Your children will watch you and pay attention to what you are doing. When it's over, congratulate the class teacher. Help him, encourage him to keep doing a good job. Show respect for the speaker if it was a sermon. Tell him it was a good sermon and tell him how much you appreciate what he's doing for you, for the congregation. Don't trash talk the speaker when you get home in front of your kids. That makes a big difference. Say, well, he didn't know what he was talking about. Your kids will pay attention to that. They will look at that person in a different light. They might not even pay attention to his sermons anymore. Realize where you are, who is there. When you are assembled with the people of God, you are in the temple of the living God. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, and we won't take the time to read that for time's sake, both the Father and the Son are present, so act accordingly. Follow the advice of 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And finally, one last passage. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. This is the attitude. This is basically summing up the entire lesson we just preached. That's how we should live. Because who redeemed us is holy. We should be holy. When we come before Him, we should realize who we're coming before. We should pay attention. We should have respect. And we should realize that we should love one another because God has given His Son for all. Worship is a serious thing. It's not something you come and do just because on Sunday, because your mom and dad make you. It's something more than that. It's something that shows a love of God, that shows a love for His Son and what they did for us. And it is a problem. And it is very, very sinful whenever you come to worship and you offer worship to God that is half done, second rate, whatever you felt like getting ready for at the time. It's something that requires reverence, something that requires love and dedication, and something that requires, at least for the short period of time that we're in our worship service, control over your urges and yourself. And that's the points that I wanted to draw out this evening, or this morning, about proper worship. And if anyone has any questions or if I said anything that was out of line or out of place, please let me know. As a preacher, as one who's presenting God's Word, I have to be especially careful. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, we have to know what manner of conduct we ought to have in the house of God. It's 1 Timothy 3:15. If there is anyone here this morning who would like to correct us in, or if there is anyone here who would, I know I didn't talk much about it, but if you would like to be baptized and be saved from your sins, if either is the case, we stand ready and waiting to help you. If you would come forward while we stand and sing, we will do our best to assist.